This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
And now the Jets and the Giants. Let's start with the Giants, BT, and what I thought was a surprisingly disgusting, ugly performance. Yet again, we've seen this far too many times in recent years from the Giants out at MetLife, a chance to really show that things have changed this season. And there's reason to believe the Giants have been playing a better brand of football. There was reason to be encouraged going into yesterday's performance. And then you watch it and they get spanked by the Eagles. I mean, they just, I still believe in Shane and Dable, but like something's got to change. They cannot continue the way that it's gone here with the Giants.
I mean, let's not mince words. What the Giants are doing is absolutely unacceptable. The Giants right now were absolutely gross yesterday. Disgusting. Now, I know the Saquon stuff adds to it. Forget about that. And thankfully, we're not really hearing much of this. And if it's being said, I'm either tuning it out preemptively or it's just not being said. Like, there's not a lot of energy today, thank God. Like, well, we would have kept Saquon. No, the Giants did the right thing. He is what he is, and he had a great game. But it sucks that it happened in MetLife. And the Giants and the Eagles rivalry, it happened. Get over it. He's gone. And the Giants did the right thing by letting him walk. What they didn't do in terms of the right thing is, how in the hell can Ozudo play left tackle? Now, if we keep saying that Shane, and they are safe, and it's not to regurgitate that right now, but I do want to throw a different layer in there. If we keep saying that those two gentlemen are safe, well, why in the world is Brian Daboll coming out throwing the football as aggressively as he did with no offensive line? That makes no sense. That's mistake number one. Number two, as the general manager, now I get on Shane a little bit, you draft Evan Neal inside the top 10, and you saw what Ozudo looked like yesterday, and you're going to look us in the face and say that Evan Neal is at least an inch better than that guy on the left side? And if the answer is no, and apparently it is, then the draft choice was even worse, which means it's a bigger stain on Joe Shane's resume. Yeah. Evan Neal can't see the field?
Yeah, and it was a disastrous pick. I mean, throw Jalen Hyde in there as well. I mean,
there's
been some bad. There's been Deontay Banks. I'm not sure what the hell is going on with him, but there's been total regression there. Here's where I'm at. All I can tell you is what I feel. I do believe in Shane and Dable. However, with that being said, I can't just sit back and accept the losing. Like, they shouldn't be 2-5. You want to say that they're not as good as the Eagles? Okay, well, they're not. That's clear and obvious. With Andrew Thomas, like, it shouldn't have been that bad. Again, at home yesterday to an Eagles team who hasn't been as good as they've been. So it shouldn't have been that bad yesterday. But the fact that they gave games away early on in the year leads them to this bad record. It's unacceptable. 2-5, that place looking like it did. Like, this is the New York Giants we're talking about. A once proud franchise that hasn't been that in many, many years over. So it's got to get fixed. While we could believe in Shane and Dable, I'm sure some of you don't. It's got to get fixed. I've seen enough of Daniel Jones. You know, I stand on that. I never have him suit up again. Like, I'm beyond over it. You can't keep doing the same bleeping thing over and over and over and expecting it to change. They're 2-5. The Eagles aren't as good. The Cowboys aren't as good. And all of a sudden, the one team that you thought you were better than in the division is the best team in the division while you're still in the basement. That's bad.
I don't know how you look at the Giants, right? I know there's a few little pieces, but big picture. How do you look at the Giants today and feel like they're going in the right direction? In the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going in the right direction. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't other elements to a roster, like, you know, where if you do get the right, the Commanders, you get the right quarterback, things could click pretty fast and you can start to gel and you can start to ascend. But, like, the Giants are going to be in a very odd space because they'll beat Carolina. They'll find a way to win six games or so, and they maybe seven, although I'd right. be a little surprised at that. But too many wins that will not enable them to go top three in the draft and get the quarterback that they so desperately need and finally cut ties with Daniel Jones. I can't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
He holds the ball. He's not. He's just not good. He's not good. And what's around him is not good, but he doesn't elevate. Like, I think when he's around a competent offensive line and forward-thinking coaching and a couple of good, not stars, but just decent skill position players, I think Daniel Jones is fine, but you for that money, you got to be an elevator. So now, and he's not. So the next decision is, when do you sit him? Because if you keep running him out there, he's going to get cracked in half, which means you're on the hook for next year and the contract repercussions that come with that. And I just look at the Giants, and you're right. The stadium, the tone, the noise, the feel, the energy, it all feels off. It feels bad because it is. They were gross yesterday.
Yeah, at
gross.
Least.
I listened to Carl and Papa a lot on the way back, right? Come back from my daughter's soccer game.
Right.
And, you know, Carl generally is that middle ground, like not trying to just pile
right.
on. He was like, he's like, this is as bad as it. This is horrendous. And, you know, when Carl's saying that, you know it's pretty bad. I mean, it was a raw broadcast, and they deserved every drop of it.
It's just, it's the tricky part is going to be, do you want to stay patient with this? Like, for me, I would let Shane and Dable pick a quarterback. The problem is they've had an opportunity to pick a quarterback, and they stick with Daniel Dan Jones. They can't do it. And you're right, they're going to win just enough games to make it where they're not going to get a top pick. They're not going to, oh, I don't want to trade up and get this guy. We don't want
to
give it up.
Well, they have to trade up this guy. They're going to have to.
Neighbor's going to be the answer. No, yeah. He's not. Your offense stinks in a league where it's wide open. The team score points. They can't score. It is impossible to watch. And I told my wife yesterday, you know what? Here's the good news. The good news is weekends are going to be opening up soon. Like, bad news is Giants are dead, and I really don't want to go pumpkin picking or apple picking or see your family or my family. But the good news is we could. It's free because the Giants stink. I can't bear to watch it anymore. 3 hours with this team, and I foolishly believe in them. God, they're horrible. Like, at least if you lose, BT, have a freaking competitive game. They can't move the football. I want to say another dirty word there. Okay. Now, and we'll have plenty of time to get into what this means for Jones and, like you said, the future and all that.
But they're going to have to sit him at some point with that contract and the injury provision.
Yeah, because if he gets hurt and they're on the hook for that, that's a disaster, even more of a disaster than what they've shown. Now for your Jets. I mean, I can't even get angry with the Jets anymore. It's so predictable. Like, oh, but here's the good news. Yeah, the Jets lost last night in Pittsburgh, a game that they were favored to win, that many people thought they were going to win. With Devontae Adams, here's the good news. Reddick's showing up today. That'll solve all their issues. Reddick's back, BT.
Yeah, Sal, it's amazing how backwards the franchise is. You know, I could see making the trade for Adams, but now you have Reddick coming in when you're 2-5. And all right, I know you got the Patriots coming up next. You should win that game.
I mean, good God.
Jeez, last night was just, last night was a different kind of script from a Jets perspective. Like, I picked them to win going in. I didn't have much faith in Russell Wilson. And once the game started, like, the way they looked, you know, with Hall getting the ball in space and some good long drive, you know, 8 plays, 8 minutes, 6 plays, 7 or 8, 9 minutes. Like, there was definitely a different level of functionality within the Jets offense. So I'm getting excited. Then you mix in this quiet stadium. The Jets effectively took the juice out of Heinz Field. Russell Wilson, this is before he started throwing the ball downfield, dropping them in the bucket. He looked atrocious. Now, I still saw signs, even when the Jets were winning 15-6, still saw signs like, all right, they're not exactly wrapping up. Najee Harris running through everything. Jets don't tackle well. They just, for a good defense, they are lazy, soft tacklers. Something else I noticed here, and I've seen it all year with Garrett Wilson, and I've also seen it all year with Sauce. These two emerging superstars the Jets have, they're both regressing. Garrett Wilson's head is in space this year, and Sauce is soft. And what's happened? He can't tackle at least 160 pounds, it looks like. It looks just like you just blow on him. They're going to knock him 5 yards back. The problem with him, what's happening to him now, Sal, he got away with a lot of grab in his first team. Now he's not, and I'm sorry. When you look at his technique, he's... He's very dependent on doing that hand combat. And when it's cold, he's not very ineffective. I don't want to go nuts. Not nearly as effective as he was. So their two best players are regressing. And then you get the franchise quarterback. When they're winning 15-6, and there's that 19-yard back shoulder throw to Lazard, and they got their ball, I think it's their own, just check. Yeah. With a minute and 15 to go, they're on their own 40, and they're winning 15-6. If you would have told me, even if they only get a field goal at that point, forget about touching and punching in seven, I'm thinking the Jets are going to win going away. I'm actually thinking that, and I very rarely think they're ever going to win going away.
Right.
Maybe a little delusional to win. And then to get smashed the way that they got smashed after that start, I mean, what do you say?
Well, what you say is everybody needs to go, and I mean everybody, because enough is enough. They've assembled, and this is what I was telling you from the beginning, like, yeah, the talent obviously is there, especially in anything in comparison to what we've seen from the Jets before. Although, to your point, like Garrett Wilson, not only is he not become a great receiver, he's making plays that are costing the team the games. Like, that's unacceptable.
The two times you lined up off sides?
Yeah, I mean, pick one.
Or the drop off is bad?
Right.
I know you meant that
The one that
his head's not there
but
this
he's done
year.
The same thing. Yeah, he's been. So not only is he not good, he's bad. He's costing them games. Sauce Gardner, same thing, overrated. But what the Jets did was assemble a roster of talent, and they never put together a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the GM, it's on the head coach,
yep,
and it's on the players. And it wasn't going to change when they fired Saleh for Ulbrich. Wasn't going to change when they traded for Davante Adams. Not going to change with Hassan Reddick. They're not a good team. It's frustrating for Rodgers because he knows what it takes to be a good team,
yep,
but he's past his prime as well.
No question.
And he's not getting help from everybody the way that he needs to. They find ways to lose. You're right. Like the Minnesota game, there were things about that game where you say, hey, they should have won this game or could have won this game if things went right. The Denver game, inexcusable to lose that game. This game, even in a loss, which turned out to be a blowout loss, there were things where you could say, hey, if they just played smarter, cleaner, more as a team, a better brand of football, they would have won that game. It takes a team to win. They're poorly coached. They got lazy guys. It's a total disaster. And I would, if I were Woody, I would clean house, hire somebody who knows what they're talking about to hire the right people, get the hell out of the way, and really let a program builder and changer finally once and for all fix this damn thing.
That's eventually going to happen. Like, as soon as the season's over, everybody's going to be gone because Ulbrich won't win enough to keep his job as the head coach, although, you know, maybe they would want to retain him as the DC, but then you got to bring in, and it sucks. He's going to probably be unfairly penalized. He's not going to, unless they make the playoffs, which at this point I don't think that they are, he's not going to be brought back as the head coach. So if you bring in the person that Sal just described, he's going to make all these sweeping changes.
He's bringing his guys.
He's going to bring in his guys, and you have to let him. Otherwise, you're still the Jets, in the way you half-step in it, which makes no sense. And you're still doubling down. I mean, it's almost Halloween, and the Jets are now still chasing their tail with the Reddick stuff, with the trade for Adams, which could be a second if certain things have probably going to be a third, but could be a second. And listen, all the moves that they made on the offensive line, Tyron Smith is shot. Morgan Moses is an absolute penalty machine. I think you said it very well. I do. Like, the Jets brought in a lot. They have good players. They're really the complete opposite of a team. They're like 53 people going in different directions. They're not a team.
Dude, they've played 7 games. They've lost 5 of them. Aaron Rodgers has been healthy. They've got weapons.
I know.
What more do you need to see to realize you need a real damn coach for once to build the program the right way? From the build a foundation, build it up. It's not going to work patching it together, even with Aaron Rodgers. It's just not. They've gotten worse from what they were a year ago with Zach Wilson. How's that possible?
Dude, I don't know. I do know that I've heard the word accountability uttered quite a bit.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, why is Greg Zuerlein still on the team? I mean, literally had his fingerprints all over directly 2 losses. And last night, you know, PAT blocked, field goal blocked. Like, if you're going to start with a bare bones level, like just the most minimal level of accountability, how about getting rid of the kicker who can't kick? Can we start somewhere? That's pretty easy contractually and roster-wise. Just find somebody else.
Joey's in Pearl River, New Jersey. What's up, Joey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What up,
Joey? By the way, BT, great job on the podcast. Listen to first thing this morning.
I appreciate that. Go check it out, guys.
Please keep it up, man.
Thank you, dude.
Rant every week, please.
Oh, I am. That's the, by the way, hold on. That's the Unkillable Pod. Everywhere you get it, yep. Spotify, the whole spiel, Odyssey. It's great. I had a blast. Thank you very much, man.
Oh, it was awesome. Garrett Wilson, I'm sick of him catching the ball with his pads, never extends his arms. Every time he catches the ball, he falls down. He never catches and runs.
Mm-hmm.
He's just overrated. He's been overrated for 2 years now. He's a good number two. He's not a number one. Adams is a legit number one. You saw it last night how he opened the field for Hall. He opened the field for Conklin even.
Lazard
looked like a stud last night.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The first time he didn't catch, I guess Adams brought his hands with him. I don't really know.
Mm.
It's just, I'm so sick of this. I'm 35. I'm a Met and Jet fan. It's a sad life I've lived. If I go back to five-year-old me, I'd probably be like, go root for the Cardinals and the Ravens.
Yeah, but Joe, the good news is you're still pretty young. You're in your 30s, man. You got time to recover.
You know, look, being a sports fan is mostly miserable and a lot of losing. Like, all right, even with the Mets, they had a great year, but in the end, you lose. What to me, though, is unacceptable is the way that the Jets have gone about trying. Now, the Giants are a different type story, also unacceptable. But with the Jets, who had Super Bowl aspirations,
yeah,
and the way that they continue to not get it, how you build a team the right way. Like, the owner just doesn't get it. And then he listens to somebody and says, hey, this is what we need to do. And they tried to draft, like Joe Douglas, when he first got here, tried to build it the right way,
mm-hmm,
and just missed. He picked the wrong quarterback. He had the wrong head coach.
The wrong left tackle, Becton.
The wrong left tackle, which is a big part. The wrong offensive coordinator. Like, rookie head coach, rookie offensive coordinator, rookie quarterback. Like, you were set up for disaster. But if you go get Jim Harbaugh, look at what he's done already.
Yeah, everywhere. Stanford. He beat USC when USC had 15 pros on the team.
And by the way, he comes in, and it's just one example, and it's a relevant example because the Jets could have had him.
Yeah.
But he comes in with Justin Herbert, right? Justin Herbert, everybody talks about, Justin Herbert, stud quarterback, whatever. And what does he say? I don't care who the quarterback is. We're running the football.
Yeah, we're going to run. That's what he always
does. This is how we're building a foundation here. Now, eventually, they'll take the next steps, but like, that's what they need. Somebody who knows how to build. That's what it takes in the NFL. And by the way, all the knocks about Belichick and past the prime, and I know the Patriots don't have any talent, but look at what they've done. They haven't been 1-6 since 1993. So obviously that tells you
something. Was that Bledsoe's first year? Or was that, it had to be early Bledsoe, right?
But obviously it predates Belichick.
Yeah, for sure.
So point is, like, coaching in the NFL is such a huge thing, and the Jets continue to miss. They just don't get it. You should, if you're the owner, open up the checkbook. Like, you're worried about chasing the stars? No. You should be chasing the star coach is what you should be chasing.
Well, after those, 5 or 6 minutes of Jet stuff, and we'll get a quick timeout, come back, get these calls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That's the lead right there. The owner. I mean, you're not bad by accident for this long unless ownership is not good. And Woody Johnson is not good.
It's not because
conversation's over.
Not because he doesn't try.
No, he tries. Yeah. He's good. I've met him. He's a very, very nice man. He's a bad owner. That's it.
Jets lose, season all but over. Giants lose, season basically over, if not officially over. And the Mets season is over. Good season, fun season. What's next, though, for the Mets? They need to get make legitimate moves in the offseason. The Yankees, of course, far from over, BT, just getting started. World Series Friday night, taking on the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Can't wait for that. Before we get back to the calls here, I have something for you.
Okay.
Let's go over the regimes right now. Where are you at with the, like, do you, either level of trust, do they have the right guys in place, maybe is the best way to
do
ask it.
All the teams here?
Jets, they have the right guys in place.
No.
Do the Giants have the right guys in place?
More than the Jets, but I'm not fully convinced.
Do the Mets have the right guys in place?
Yes.
Do the Yankees?
They do. They do. It's not perfect. It's not how I would, listen, I have to answer this with great transparency. If I owned the Yankees, I would have made a change a year or two ago from Cashman.
Right.
I really would
for
have.
For me, it was 2021. Yeah, after the 2021 season, that would have been the year.
I would have. So I can't say fully yes, but I certainly won't say no when they're a couple of days away from the World Series.
But it's funny, and it's the reason why I wanted to ask this question. Like, we all know the Jets, no. Giants still, I think, TBD. For me, I'd say yes. For the Mets, absolutely yes. But for the one team that's actually winning
yeah.
and is in the World Series, it's like,
I know. Well, there's other teams, too, like the Knicks. Both of our ends will be an absolute yes. And the Rangers, I think most of us would say absolutely yes.
Yes.
So,
of all the Yankees. Teams.
Yeah, I know. What about the Isles?
Yeah, but see, that does show you, though.
Well, it's also a standard. It's a different level of critique.
No, but also, it shouldn't have taken, the way that the Yankees operate, it should not have taken, and I know it's hard, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have taken 15 years to get back.
That should never take 15 years for the Yankees. I agree with that.
They're in the playoffs every year. So it shouldn't, and there are reasons for it. Now, what's happened this year, Cashman went on and got Juan Soto, who's obviously all-world superstar. That has helped. Without Soto, they're not here.
No.
Even in a lessened American league, without Juan Soto, the Yankees are not here right now. Also, what's happened is the other guys are stepping up, whether it's Stanton getting healthy and hot at the right time, Gleyber Torres getting hot at the right time, the pitching. Like, the Yankees have been a little fortunate as well. I'm not trying to take away credit from Cashman. But overall, do we trust Cashman to, like, is this the beginning of a newfound success and sustained run? I don't see that with the Yankees. I'm seeing a team that is in the midst of a run, maybe at the end of a run,
mm-hmm.
that was fortunate the way that the landscape of the American League was, that is now in the World Series. But, like, who knows what the future holds for this team?
Well, this is where it's interesting for Brian and trying to, you know, place a definitive value on his job as the general manager and his role as the GM. Like, so we're going to go to the big ticket, the marquee items first. We're going to touch Soto, which we did, you know, Gerrit Cole. All the other things, what we're going to get to, and we say that it's amazing, but I think we need to look at it a little bit differently, and that's the bullpen. Now, who brought in Luke Weaver? Cashman.
Right.
Who brought in Tommy Canley? Cashman. Who brought in Hill, who had some good moments? Brian Cashman.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a, and this is why it's a little confounding for me, and it's certainly conflicted as I try to give you and everybody a true sense of how I value Brian Cashman. His good is usually under the radar, unbelievably good. But there's also a lot of head-scratching decisions that it's one of the reasons why they've gone 15 years without getting to the World Series. So, you know, I appreciate his honesty. We had him on a couple of months ago.
I like him personally.
I do, too. Yeah. We went back and forth. He's a big boy. He's always got the big boy pants on when he messes with the media. He's not running. He's not hiding. And now he's back at a place where Yankee fans expect to be. But to sit here and say it would be revisionist history, while I'm thankful and I applaud this version of the Yankees, they have driven me nuts for years with inadequately built lineups, guys who can't run, you know, not enough defensive versatility, all the things that we've all complained about, which were accurate in real time. So,
and I think
it's still a very unique analysis.
I think it still pertains, but they're in the World Series.
Yep.
And we'll see how far now they can take it. Four wins away from ending their long World Series winning drought. They've gotten here. Now they got to win it. Steve's in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up, guys? My favorite stat of the ALCS was Giancarlo Stanton had four hits, and all of them went over 400 feet.
He's one of a kind, man. Yeah. He is one of a kind, that guy.
He's been great. Let's also give an assist to the dumbest team walking the face of the earth, the Cleveland Guardians. How the hell you could justify pitching to him? Not only pitching to him, throwing him strikes. Like, you've got to be stupid. Now, Stan made them pay, and you give him a ton of credit. But, my goodness, Cleveland, Vogt is an idiot. That guy's going to win Manager of the Year. He couldn't have managed a worse series. Well, he is lost.
By the way, I had some problems with Vogt. I thought that the Yankees kind of won a war of attrition, mainly against his bullpen. And he doubled down, and he was saying, oh, no, I would bring these guys in. I don't regret anything. Look, man, you know, he made the mistake the Torios used to make, saying that this was my guy all year, I'm sticking with my guy. It's great if he's your guy, but when you pitch a guy 3-4 days in a row like that, he's not the same guy. So, you know,
also seeing the same
with one of them, where the
having the same guys, sorry, Steve, to cut you off, and thank you for the call. Guys again every time facing the same part of the lineup. Like, the more you show them in a short period of time, especially, the more likely you are to get beat. But even outside that, the Yankees were just better. But pitching to Stanton in certain spots, you just need your head examined. I thought he was awful. Boy.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't distinguish himself very well at all here. Listen, I think that the Yankees and their, like, their just their feel right now, I feel really good about them, but there's going to be some trepidation as I get closer to the series. Like, I know there's some spots that I don't necessarily know how they'll respond, whether it's left field, you know, what kind of World Series does Volpe give you, Austin Wells. I mean, I think every time every time he swings, he misses. What do you get from Rizzo at first base, who has been a disaster defensively? And now there's a million things that have been great. But does Stanton sustain this? Does Soto sustain this?
Does the bullpen?
Does the bullpen sustain? Garrett Cole, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, a
lot of pressure for Garrett Cole, rightfully so.
To me, it's going to come down to the offense, because I really do believe the Dodgers are going to hit Cole. They'll hit Rodon. They'll hit Heal. I don't know about Clark Schmidt. I actually like Clark Schmidt. I'm with you. But anyway, they'll find a way to score, and they're going to get to the bullpen. I really do believe that. If the Guardians got to Clay Holmes and Luke Weaver, even as minimal as it may have been, the Dodgers are going to get to them. So then the question becomes, well, how much are the Yankees going to be able to score? How much will the Dodgers let Soto and Judge beat them? How much is Glaber going to be able to keep it up? Will Wells get going? Is Stanton going to be able to stay hot?
Really? No question. Jazz?
Yeah, those are the factors to me. If the Yankees' other parts of that lineup outside of Soto and Judge hit,
then they're
going to have a chance to win the World
Series. Did you think for sure Soto's home run was gone? Like, immediately?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, his reaction was I'm going to pose because this thing's gone. But almost like Lindor's home run,
yeah,
it was so high. I'm like, did he just get it off the end of the bat, or did he just get, like, I couldn't tell for a second. Now I'm also sitting there, you know, as a Yankee fan, twisted in knots where, just like the Leyritz home run or Tino home run or a Big Jeter home run. Yeah, until it's over, it's not over the fence. But when he first hit it, I wasn't 100% sure.
I felt like it was a home run before he even got to that pitch. Like, four pitches later, I knew what was going to happen. I just, in my gut, knew. Soto was telling you. If you watched it, you felt it. He was telling you, I own you.
Yeah.
Got you. I'm on you, and there's nothing you can do to get me out. I'm on you. Look, basically, right, he all but said it. His body language said it. His eyes said everything about it. The actual at bat itself, everything about it said, he's on this guy. This pitcher is in trouble if he throws him a strike. And he threw him a fastball that was actually up in his zone, and Soto clobbered it.
I was sitting in the yard. I was actually a fire pit, you know, a bunch of drinks, hanging out with a few buddies. And my Colt was under the weather, so he was kind of on the couch with the blanket. Would come out once in a while and something good happened. But I hate that this was said by my buddy, but he's not wrong. As Soto came up in that spot, he said, I'd rather have Soto here than Judge.
Yeah, of course you
and
would.
And not one of us in the group could refute it. Like, yeah. Nobody can even remotely challenge that.
It's not a knock on Judge.
No.
It's
the acknowledgement as to how special Soto is.
The greatness of Juan Soto. The Jets lost last night. Giants embarrassment yesterday at one. The Mets season is over. Yankees just getting started here. Back in the World Series for the first time in 15 years. One side note, BT, because of the way I was watching the game last night, you don't have YouTube TV or no?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't even know if we have it. I don't use it.
Okay, so I have.
No, what am I saying? We don't have it. Okay. We don't, and yeah, I definitely don't use it.
That's like my version of whatever cable you would have. It's just the way that it is. In my spot, we didn't have an option for cable, so I ended up going with YouTube TV. I love the Football Sunday ticket anyway.
Yeah, I've actually heard they do a good job with that. It looks good.
It's
on
great.
The,
yeah, the game mix is great. So then last night, it's like perfect spot. Actually, a couple weeks ago, when did the Giants play the Bengals? Last Sunday night? Yeah, so we had
last Sunday.
So last Sunday they gave you the option of a multi view. It was the Mets and Dodgers and the Giants and Bengals. All right, easy peasy. Two games up. Here we go, and you could just easily toggle between the volume.
Okay,
move the thing back and forth, no problem. So I was expecting to get that last night. You know, here we go again. We got the Mets game six, and we got the Jets Sunday Night Football, and they didn't give you that option. Instead, they gave you the Mets option and the Liberty. Or a three-game mix with the Mets, Jets, and Liberty. There was no Mets and Jets option. So I had to put on the three because I wanted at least the two. And I ended up watching a little bit of the Liberty. Have you checked any of that out?
I did not. I did not. I mean, I followed the story they won. I know they won the championship game five, whatever. But no, I didn't watch
it. Okay. I know minimal about it. And I watched it only because it was, like I said, it was on and maybe in the lulls of the other games or halftime, whatever it may be. I just checked it on because it was coming down to the end and the score seemed okay. You know, a close score. Here's what I would say. The quality of play
in the WNBA?
Yeah, now this is a finals. This is the championship game. It wasn't good. The Liberty, you're missing shots left and right. It felt like, and I don't know enough about it, but it felt like the I don't even want to say officials or the sport, but it felt like they were doing everything in their power to get the Liberty to actually win. That's how it felt watching it. Meanwhile, their superstar Ionescu.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
She was like one. She couldn't hit a shot. She was like 1-for-19. Like, that's not the way you want to win a championship. Championship should be back and forth. This is the finals. These are the best two teams in a league. You should be going back and forth
Minnesota,
at a high level.
Right? Yeah, it's Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but as far as watching it goes, missed shots, questionable foul calls.
I did hear the refs were pretty bad. I didn't watch, so I can't give you an intelligent thought on that. I just saw what I saw on social media that the refs were really having a rough day. But so you're watching. Oh, good for you checking in. Yeah, by the way, congrats to Liberty. Good for them.
That's fine. But it's awesome. My point is that I was kind of forced into watching. They had an opportunity to get another fan, potentially. It's not a knock on the WNBA. I'm just not like, it's just not, the level of interest is just not there. Although I do like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I'm a big Angel Reese fan. So like occasionally, if I happen to run into it, I will. Not to mention, by the way, it's bad timing. Sunday night, you're on Sunday up against football and baseball playoffs. Like, you couldn't have it in a worse spot. But even with that, because of the setup, I'm forced to watch it. And then I watched it and was just like, it's just not that good. This is the best you have to offer? I don't know. I didn't think the product itself was that, because Ionescu I've heard about forever.
Oh, she's a beast. I know she missed a lot of shots.
1-for-19? What do you mean?
You said 1-for-19?
What were the exact numbers?
1-for-19?
Can you look that up? I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
What?
Dude, that's like...
It's worse than starts.
Yeah, I was going to say. And by the way, they lost, obviously, the Knicks did.
Yeah.
With her, they won.
Yeah,
Brianna Stewart was missing free throws. Now, she did hit two big ones at the end. But again, the questionable foul call, I just felt like it just felt off.
I got you. Didn't they hit a six shot the other day, though? Like a three really, really late, like in the last few seconds? What was that game
I did
four,
not see
three,
that.
Game four?
Zoo saying INSQ. Can you just get her box score, Zoo, from yesterday?
I watched it as Zoo's getting that. I watched it totally different. Now, I didn't watch the and I knew it was on. And yeah, I'd like to see the Liberty one again.
Right.
Legitimate congratulations. Awesome. Like the caliber of the women game, even though it seems like it was a rough day yesterday, has just soared through the roof. And I've got great respect for it, but I'm not watching it. I just don't have time. I'm watching the Mets and I'm watching the Jets.
Right.
And I don't have the YouTube TV. And I found the way to deal with this, whether it's the Yanks and the Mets overlapping or the Jets and
still
the Yankees.
Still a pain in the ass because you missed them.
It really is tough. It's a very hard. The Bills and the Yankees, the Jets, Bills, and the Yankees on Monday, that was a colossally brutal juggle. And I'm not the kind of guy, like, even when, like, picture-in-picture first popped up 15 years ago or, you know, watching, I've got a pretty nice man cave, but I could easily put three or four more TVs out there and watch three, four, five things at once. With me, this is just the way my mind works. If I watch more than one thing, I literally watch nothing. So I would just go, because I'm all over the map mentally. So I'm watching the Jets, then with the commercial, go to the Mets, rewind. Like, that's how, and it worked for me. But it's an unfair juggle. I wish the Jets were earlier, the Mets were late. What? Just whatever. The crossover was a killer.
BT and Sal on the fan. Ken is in the Bronx. What's up, Kenny?
Kenny.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning. Two of my favorite radio hosts. Two of my favorite. Sal?
Yeah.
I like you a lot. You know, I like the way you do the show. BT, I love you. You're a Yankee fan, so I have to give you a little more love than Sal. Anyway, let me say this to you now. I hope the Yankees could take it in six. But if it go to seven, I wouldn't be surprised. And I hope Judge get at so we could make it a little easier because, you know, the Dodgers is a good team. They are a good team, and we have a handful. They are a good team, but the Yankees are going to win this World Series. I'm a Bronx guy for 30 years. Yankees played them in my backyard. Go Yankees.
That's right.
Yankees all the time.
There you go, Kenny. And listen, now Judge can go back and he can get some revenge on that wall that those idiots never fixed out there at Dodger Stadium, which not that they were going to win the World Series a couple of years ago. They didn't have the horses, but it derailed maybe another 60 home run season, maybe another MVP. Yeah, I mean, listen, if we couldn't get Yankees Mets, that's what I wanted. Some of you wanted, some of you didn't. Yankees Dodgers is as marquee as it gets. And by the way, I don't know that we should assume everybody knows the schedule here. So they know Friday's game one, game two Saturday.
Did they give start time yet?
I don't have the start times yet. There's only 2 days off. So there's the Sunday and then there's the following Thursday. So it's game one and two in LA, Friday, Saturday, travel day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Bronx. Off day, back to L.A. if necessary, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I can't believe I was thinking that. I just assumed the Yankees going to have home field. I forgot that the Dodgers have the best record in baseball, so the first two will be in L.A. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Trying to stay super excited, man. Yankees got to the World Series 4 wins away. I definitely think they can get it done in 6. I would not be surprised if they get it done in 5. And I say that only because as far as just watching the postseason baseball, and because I had a New York interest and I've been watching the Mets too, so I've been watching the full postseason. The Yankees, just in stats-wise, they're the best team in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, it's right now the odds are pretty much even. We're just a short underdogs. But I don't think it's I don't think the Yankees over there, you know, they think that we're looking over at the Dodgers saying, like, we got some trouble. But the Dodgers got some trouble in the Bronx, man.
Yeah, but by the way, to be fair, okay. Yeah, a little feedback there, Chris. I'm sorry. I don't think either team, first of all, at that level, nobody fears anybody. This is not high school where you've got some superior team. I mean, the Yankees respect the Dodgers. The Dodgers respect the Yankees. Both teams expect to win. I'd be stunned if it's, I mean, it's not going to be a sweep, by the way. I'd be very surprised if it's 5 either way. Feels like 6 or 7. Feels like we're going to get some depth. It feels like this thing's going to be settled the following weekend.
Yeah,
into early November. So
you would expect it to be a good series. I mean, the thing that I find borderline intolerable so far is a lot of the Yankee fans, and I know this isn't everybody. Most Yankee fans are realistic and understanding the challenge that is in front of them, but the dismissive nature, because the Yankees' bats all of a sudden have gotten hot here, that the Yankees are going to roll through the Dodgers. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. The Dodgers, if you watch baseball and you said that you did, you would know that the National League postseason had far more challenges than the American League. Now, it doesn't matter. They're in the World Series. Yankees have to win 4 games, but they're going to have to beat the best team to do it. The Dodgers have been the best team all year long by almost every account, every measurement. And by the way, they took out the Mets were the best team record-wise from June on, and the Dodgers took them out. The Padres are one of the hottest teams in baseball. They took them out before that, and they had the best record overall. I'm not saying the Yankees can't win this World Series. Of course they're there. All they got to do is win, hey, best of 7. Win 4 out of 7, and you win. But let's not make it like it's going to be what we saw against Kansas City or Cleveland. It's not. I mean, the Dodgers are far better.
And is the pressure, we'll get to this more as we get a little closer to it, you know, middle week, whatever. There's going to be so many stories to hit. The pressure on Gerrit Cole is massive. I mean, this is why they got him. And so far, whether it's the wild card game against Boston a couple of years ago, so far, you know, fairly all over the map in the October run this year. It's go time. Like, you know, for these guys who are not 25, 26, 27, like a Soto or like a Jazz, who are still ascending, you know, I don't think Aaron Judge is necessarily ever going to get better. I don't think Gerrit Cole's ever necessarily going to get better. I think they're at the apex of their powers in terms of their absolute physical prime. And this doesn't grow on trees, these opportunities. Gerrit Cole, all the focus is on Judge. I get it. Gerrit Cole's got to deliver.
Yeah.
Must.
He's got, it seems like, though, the offense has been favored here against great pitching in the postseason. I mean, the Yankees are an example of that in the postseason with the bullpens that they face so far with Cleveland specifically. You want to go with Reagans or Lugo in Kansas City. The offense has won out, and we'll see if that continues in the World Series. BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, reset, hit you with the crown topics of the day. Three-team seasons essentially ended yesterday. One team is going to play in the World Series starting Friday. We'll have it all for you when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off of?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.